Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the CCL Products (India) Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference has been recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manish Mahawar. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Anushka. Good afternoon, everyone. I am pleased to host today's earnings call of CCL Products. We have leadership team of represented by Mr. Challa Srishant, Managing Director, Mr. Praveen Jaipuria, CEO, Mr. Chaitanya Agaste Raju, CFO, and Ms. Sridevi Dasari, Company Secretary on the call. Without any delay, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Jaipuria for opening remarks, post which we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you. Over to you, Praveen.
Yeah. Thank you, Manish, and thank you, team Antique, for arranging the call. Good afternoon, everyone. I welcome you all to the first conference call of 25-26. Let me just give a brief overview of company's performance for the first quarter. The group has achieved a turnover of rupees 1058 crores for the first quarter as compared to rupees 774.6 crores for the corresponding quarter of the previous year, achieving a growth of 37%. This incidentally is the first time we achieved a turnover of rupees 1000 crores in a quarter. The EBITDA stands at rupees 161.43 crores as against 131.62 crores, which is a growth of 23%, while PBT is rupees 131.62 crores, growing at 8%, and the net profit stands at rupees 72.45 crores with a growth of 1%. The PBT and PAT got impacted due to higher interest and depreciation component. The domestic market where we sell our branded products continues with its growth momentum, and we clocked approximately 150 crores in the first quarter itself. Out of this 150 crores, almost 100 crores was from brand and the retail business. And because of this aggressive growth, there is a continuous market share gain across channels and across geographies. As far as the green coffee prices are concerned, they have softened 20% or so, or 20 to 30% in the last 2-3 months. However, there is a lot of volatility in the market. Every day we see a lot of ups and downs that is happening, which is making the buyers, the buyers are very tentative. The period between the Brazil crop, which is ending now, the harvesting of Brazil crop, and the starting of the harvesting of Vietnam crop, which happens in December time, I think this is a period of wait and watch for all of us, because if prices were to remain stable during this period, then it augurs well in terms of the price softening and stabilizing post the Vietnam crop. So that's a little brief from our side. I open the house for questions now.
Hello, sir. Can we start with the Q&A?
Yeah, please. I said we can open the house for questions. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Akash from CC Products. Please proceed.
Hello.
Yeah, Akash.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, you're audible, Akash.
Yeah, sir. So good morning, and very congratulations on good volume numbers. I just had a few questions regarding the volatility in margins, because I know the correct way to gauge your company's EBITDA number that you have previously mentioned. The huge variations in quarterly margins, what do you think is a stable number to look at? Because I can understand with copper prices decreasing, your EBITDA will be the same, and therefore margins will increase if the copper prices stay the same. But then what is the good way to see your margins, sir? Because there's a huge volatility quarter on quarter.
Yeah, absolutely, Akash, you're right. And this volatility is simply because our, you know, selling price is related. We operate on cost-plus model. So our selling price is related to coffee prices, and if the coffee prices fluctuate, you know, EBITDA as a percentage to top line becomes very confusing. So the right way, and that is what we have guided, that the right way is to look at your EBITDA growth numbers. So, you know, in most last 2-3 years of, we have always guided that our EBITDA will grow in line with our volumes. And we have given a guidance of 15%-20% volume growth and EBITDA growth year-on-year. And that is what we have been maintaining. So if you see our EBITDA growth at a consolidated level, it is at 23%, which is what one should look at, that is this growth momentum being continued or not. And that is how we internally also look at that are we maintaining this momentum or not. Because there are a lot of other factors apart from the coffee prices also that determine this percentage to, you know, EBITDA percentage to top line. Things like what is your product mix, what kind of clients you are, you know, serving, what kind of pack sizes you are serving. So these are all determined, and there could be quarterly fluctuations in terms of, you know, what kind of product mix was there, what kind of client mix was there, what kind of pack size mix was there. So therefore, keeping all of this in mind, we have always guided that you should look at the growth figures when it comes to EBITDA. And our guidance has always been 15% to 20%, and that is what we have been maintaining for the last 3-4 years. And that's our aim to kind of, at least for the next 3 to 4 years, that will be our aim to maintain that kind of a growth momentum.
Okay, sir. Just a follow-up, sir. You know, with Brazil having 50% tariff, okay, and most probably the coffee prices will be, passed on with 50% tariff. Is there any chances of, you know, those coffees getting rerouted to countries like Vietnam and India for processing, and therefore we stand at advantage for that? Is this a possibility?
So there is definitely a possibility, because of 50% tariff, they would want to sell the coffee, you know, to other other regions as well. The good thing about us is that both at India and Vietnam, we are placed in such a manner that we can buy coffee from across the world. So that gives us a lot of flexibility, which is not necessarily there with a lot of producers across the globe. So whether, you know, Brazil coffee gets sold in Vietnam at a good price, or Vietnam coffee comes down, because of our flexibility, we are always in an advantageous position. So, you know, either ways, we are not speculating or wanting to kind of, you know, double guess the market that what will happen. We are taking as things come along, because, you know, anyways, we are in a good advantageous position.
Yes, okay. Great, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we proceed with the next question, ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. The next question is from the line of Avinash Roy from Nuvama. Please proceed.
Yeah, thanks. My first question is on the India coffee costing. Based on the current tariff structure, and these can change, we all know that. But if we assume that this is the current India tariff structure, and this is the current Brazil tariff structure, and then taking the international price of coffee, my sense is international coffee has corrected 30% from the peak, if you could confirm that. And based on the two crops which we have, Robusta and Arabica, what will be your sense if we ignore the tariff-related noise and based on the supply demand, what will be your expectation? You expect more coffee correction in India in terms of the India prices?
So, Avnish, yeah, you're right. There's a lot of flux in the market, and that is actually has kept all of us guessing. First and foremost is tariff. Tariff also, we all know, while the statement come at a very broad level that there is 20% tariff or 25% tariff, or let's say 50% for Brazil, you know, the finer prints have to be read, because there are a lot of segments which they are also choosing to kind of let go. So that is keeping, you know, all of us, you know, guessing that what is going to happen. But leave alone that fact, because at both India and at Vietnam levels, the tariff structures as of now comparatively are at an advantageous position because Vietnam is at 20% and India at 25%. So we don't see any, disadvantage on that front as of now. Now, coming to your second part of the question that, with 30% lowering of coffee prices, see, anyways, we work on a cost-plus model. So any lowering of prices or any table lowering is, while it is good news on the front that, our holding costs become lower and therefore our requirement for working capital becomes lower, it does not affect our margin profile. In terms of growth prospects, one has to see because, we have discussed this in many number of times, that any growing price hikes and, declining prices actually are not good news. The good news is when the prices are stable. That's when, the clients get committed towards longer contracts, toward more volumes. So that is the situation. Today, what has happened is that while the prices have corrected 30%, if you see every day, there is almost a $100 fluctuation up and down that is happening. So everybody is in a little guess mode, and people are trying to double guess what's going to happen in terms of prices going forward. So people are a little non-committal at this point of time, and that's the reason we said that, this interim period between Brazil crop ending and Vietnam crop starting will be a key, period for all of us to watch. Because if the prices hold on to these levels till the next, for the next 3-4 months, and then the Vietnam crop arrives, then I think it will be good news for all the, buyers as well as manufacturers, because price would have stabilized, and that, in turn, kind of, augurs well for all of us.
I understood the cost-plus model. Wanted one follow-up here. In terms of the supply side, say, the crop quantity, et cetera, in Brazil, is it a good increase versus last year and versus the demand side, is it good? Vietnam crop, you said 3-4 months, so I think it will be a bit early to really guess there how the supply side is. If you could comment on this supply side.
Yes. So, actually, yes, Brazil crop, there was a good flow of Brazil crop this year. And that is actually, that was a trigger point for the prices to start softening. And the good part was that the prices softened not only by 30%, but for good now 2-3 months, the trend has been on the softening side. So that's a good indicator as of now. So yes, Brazil crop, we had a good flow this year. But more than that, Abneesh, a lot of, if you were to map the supply and the demand trend for last 25, 30 years, you will see that, the difference sometimes is not more than 4-5%, but the speculation and the market spirals kind of, make the coffee prices go up by 40-50%. So actually what happens is that coffee, because of the fact that it's the second most traded commodity after oil, there's a lot of interest and therefore leads to a lot of speculation as well. So, yeah, but, to answer your first question that, has the supply been good? Yes, the supply from Brazil was good this year.
So my second and last question is on the two line items. Depreciation, 45% YOY increase, 24% quarter-on-quarter increase. Does the number stabilize at this 34 crore number? And the lower coffee costing, you did say the working capital needs will reduce. So interest cost at 34 crores, that should hopefully reduce if we assume this 30% lower costing will continue.
So both the answers are yes, Abneesh. First one is about that, these are peak levels of depreciation. Yes, because after first quarter of last year, we commissioned both our India unit and Vietnam unit in the last quarter. So now the full depreciation is coming to the books, and therefore these are the peak levels. And secondly, interest cost. Yes, again, these are peak levels. Considering two, three things that one, because of the cash flows, we will be able to, over a period of time, start retiring the debt. Our working capital requirement, if the coffee prices remain at the levels that they are, will also come down. So all of these, so improved cash flow, working capital coming down, would mean that the interest outflow will be lower. But yes, there is a lag effect that happens because we do hold, 2 months of, because of our order book, 2 months of inventories, which will be at higher prices. With that lag, I think from next quarter end onwards, we can start seeing some, relief on that front as well.
And could you confirm gross debt, net debt, and cash levels?
I'll just ask Chaitanya to kind of, give you this answer.
So, the debt at this debt as at 30th June stands at 1,671 crores. It was 1,812 as at 31st March and 1,974 crores as on December 24. So from 1,974 crores in December 21, we have brought it down to 1,812 and now it is 1,671.
This is gross, right? Or net?
Yeah. Net debt.
Net debt. Okay. Yeah. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Abhishek Nawalgund from Centrum Broking. Please proceed.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Congrats on a good operating performance, sir. So first question is on basically India and Vietnam SDC capacities which we have started like one and a half years back. So possible to share broadly the utilization levels at both these capacities?
So Abhishek, because of the fact that, you know, a lot of new capacities have come in a staggered manner, very difficult to break everything down. But largely, you know, let's say, if I were to kind of, we have doubled the capacity. So one way to look at it is that our existing capacity, which was there, is running at full capacity level. And the new capacity, we have started utilizing around 10 to 15% of that capacity. So at an aggregate level, you could say 60% of the utilization is there. So that is where we are on the capacity utilization.
Sure. And you spoke about the B2C part of also. Is it possible to also give some color on the per call outlook in UK, maybe from this year or next year's perspective?
So per call, Abhishek, has, you know, we've kind of at least turned the downward spiral that per call was in. This year, we are looking to double the value from last year. So last year, because we were kind of ending the takeover formalities, we were doing around, you know, just to give you a brief idea on the top line, around 15-16 crores. We are looking to double that this year. So that's what's happening in UK. We are going for a lot of relisting. The challenge in UK is that you only get, you know, there are designated times for listing in UK stores. So we have to wait for that full cycle to get over for new listings and all that. We are getting very aggressive on Amazon, and the good part is we have started to build the brand by spending, you know, on social media and outdoor to make sure that we build the brand on a sustainable basis. So that's the you know, brief on the UK per call front. UK India, we just launched you know, a couple of months back. You have seen a lot of activity, especially in the, you know, in the print media and all. So we are again looking to build this brand as a premium offering in the Indian market, trying to capture the niche premium segment in the Indian market. So too early to give any numbers or any directions, but yeah, things are moving good. We are now selling on almost all the platforms. We are very particular about putting it in very, very niche, you know, modern retail outlets. So all that work is, as we speak, is going along. We'll wait for a couple of quarters for us to kind of get a firm hold on the kind of feedback that is that we are getting from this launch in India.
Sure. Again, coming back to the B2B, sorry. Is it possible to share what percentage of our orders are, let's say, on spot basis? The question I'm asking, the reason I'm asking this is basically just wanted to understand in a gradually declining pricing scenario, is it possible to quantify any inventory loss during the quarter, if any, or there is no such thing?
There's not much of change, Abhishek, because, you know, while the prices are falling, I mentioned that, you know, in both rising and falling markets, there is a sense of tentativeness. We look to see how stabilization happened. But as I told earlier also that, you know, we have full visibility of the quarter, almost near to 50-60% of the visibility for the subsequent quarters. So that stays. See, our long-term clients stay they stay with us. Only thing is that instead of giving me a 12-month contract, they will give me a 3-month contract or a 4-month contract. So that is how it is still panning out. There's not much of a difference. But we have a feeling that going forward and as we close into the Vietnam crop cycle, we will start seeing a lot more long-term contracts coming in.
So my last question is on tax rate. Possible to share the...
I would request you to join back the queue.
Sure.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Shirish Pardeshi from Motilal Oswal. Please proceed.
Hi, Praveen, Sushant. Good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity. Just two quick questions, Praveen. The prices has come down very severely. So just more curious, what is the high cost inventory we are holding at this point of time in terms of number of days or in terms of sales?
So Shirish, whatever inventory what we hold is what we have sold already. So there is no inventory which is loose inventory with us. We don't buy inventory at all. Yeah, but generally yes, we because our that 3 to 4 months of we have definitive contracts which are there. The volumes are sold. So at any point of time we would hold 2 to 3 months of stocks with us. But all of this is sold stocks. So we don't, we're not holding any inventory. So prices going up and coming down doesn't bother us. What bothers us that there shouldn't be much of a fluctuation around in the market.
So you mean to say that the price drop for the inventory is immediately can be passed on because we have a cost plus model?
Yeah, we have a cost plus model and we buy after we have sold. So price drop can be passed on to the customer. So today we will do a contract at today's price.
Okay. My second question is on the outlook. You mentioned that Brazil is already dropping and Vietnam is also looking good. But in that context, if I go back exactly 90 days before, the customers were having the order, but they were not giving it the visibility. But is there any behavioral change which has happened, sentiment change has happened, people are now giving you maybe 90 days inventory visibility?
As I was telling Shirish that our long-term clients, they give us a visibility. Only thing is that we only advise them not to go for very long-term contracts in terms of volatile market situations. So we know we have a visibility. But, there are two things. One is having a visibility, and that is the reason we have expanded our capacity. We have given aggressive guidance. Otherwise, we wouldn't have given this aggressive guidance if we didn't have visibility. The only thing is that if you ask me that do I have a confirmed contract in my hands for next 12 months, probably not. That is when we say that, okay, we have for the next 3 to 6 months, I know that the contracts are there in the hand. But in terms of visibility, yes, there is a behavioral shift now. People are breathing a sigh of relief because, a lot of there has been an incessant price increase for the consumers also in the market across the globe. And last 2 years, there has always almost, there is a price increase of 40% or so. Which is very steep in any consumer goods category. So what it does is that it probably puts a stress on the consumption pattern. So now, brand owners and suppliers and retailers, they are obviously, breathing a sigh of relief because at least they'll be able to kind of either reduce prices or hold on to the prices. And this will mean that there'll be a consumption drive that would again come back to this category. So I think on that front it is there. Yes, it will translate to orders as we go along because obviously everybody wants to make sure that things are settled now going forward.
That's exactly my point which I was trying to understand. With this visibility, the volume what we have reported this quarter, does that give the confidence that we will be able to maintain or surpass the volume in the second quarter?
So absolutely, it gives the confidence, and that's the reason, Shirish, even when the prices were going at a berserk pace, our confidence on volume growth was always intact. Because, ultimately there are two things that, there is only one thing that we are concerned about. The consumption should stay intact. As long as people are drinking coffee, we are in the business. And because of the competitive edge that we bring to the market, and that's the reason we have. So even when the prices were at 5,000 levels, we were confident and we had given a guidance that we will grow at. Yes, we had kind of broadened the guidance from a very stark 15% to 20% to 10% to 20%. But that was about it. We were always committed to that kind of a growth. And that's what we have delivered in the worst of times when the coffee prices were at such high levels.
Wonderful. That's really helpful, Praveen, and all the best to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Shirish.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Bhavya Sonawala from Samasta Capital. Please proceed.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, Bhavya, you're audible.
Yeah, just two questions. First question, just has the working growth been in line with the EBITDA growth that we always kind of fight, right?
Sorry, Bhavya, I think your voice got very feeble after the first line.
No, yeah. So just want to know, has volume growth been in line with the EBITDA growth that you usually always, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not exactly in line, probably a little lower than the EBITDA growth, but yeah, almost the same pattern continues for us.
Okay. And just wanted to also understand our investment going ahead in the branded business that which we are already in coffee and plus now we have started snacks, which I understand is going to be a pilot. But in the next 2-3 years, in terms of advertising and any other further investments, can you just throw some light how that is going to pan out?
So, Bhavya, I think what investments we are doing is largely to build the brand. We are not doing any investment in terms of capex as far as B2C is concerned. Even if we are getting into new category like snacks, we are going for third-party manufacturing. So, all the investment is on the brand. And what we have now, since the brand business itself is, profitable, so what we are doing is, instead of milking the brand, we are trying to kind of plow in the profits going forward. And that's the reason we have been experiencing such aggressive growth, and we are looking to maintain this momentum by maintaining the spends that we have been doing. And in fact, as the brand is growing, we are in fact increasing the spends as well. So that is something that we will continue to do, because not only we have, coffee itself, we are very small right now, there is a large scope to grow, but also now we are kind of spending to build on some of the other categories right now at very test market levels. But I'm sure soon we'll start investing there also in terms of brand building. Nothing on the capex side.
Understood. Just a last question. By the year end, do you see the branded business around 400-500 crores? Is that something that is on the paper?
So I think you have given as broad guidance that we have been giving 400 to 500. Definitely, first quarter itself we have done 400. So definitely we are going to touch 400 now. How far we go beyond 400 is the question that we all have. We are putting all the measures and all our might to make sure that we go as far as possible.
Oh, thank you so much. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Richa from Equitymaster. Please proceed.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, I just want more insights on with this different tariffs that are being imposed. Yeah.
Could you please?
Oh, okay. I'll just try again. I just wanted to understand that with this tariff, what is the sourcing pattern in the US? How much of, what is the Brazil share versus India share? And are you witnessing increased inquiries from the US customers with this tariff talk?
So, Richa, yes, actually, there has been an increased inquiries, but, with this tariff also, there is a lot of, layers into this tariff, and every day, everybody is discovering newer things. So, while Brazil has had 50% of tariff, we still are trying to figure out that, what is the tariff, because when Trump announces tariff, he just gives a statement, broad statement that 50%, 25%, 20%. But in between the lines, there are categories which are getting exempted. For example, US said that all the agri products which they don't grow will be zero tariff. So there are news like these also. So we'll have to see, we have to let the dust settle down. Yes, there has been an increased inquiry. But has it quickly translated into sale? As of now, I can't say for sure. But yeah, we are dealing with those inquiries as far as possible. Because, while Brazil has got 50%, Mexico has got a leeway for another 90 days. So there are these kind of, lots of, fluidity in terms of this tariff thing. The whole world is under confusion, and it will take a little bit of a time for us to understand where things are going. But yes, we are getting more inquiries and we are addressing them as far as.
Okay, and so my second question is on the tax rate. I see some sharp variations. So if you could just guide us, where the tax rate could land over the next year.
I don't think so. There is a variation. We are at full tax rate in India. So whatever the profit that flowed in the standalone, that profit, whatever tax was applicable, that is there. Otherwise, it remains pretty much similar if you were to see. And this tax is under MAT credit, so a portion of it, kind of just gets into the book. But otherwise, in terms of cash flow, it improved the cash flow. So it is actually, good in terms of cash flow. Yes, on the books in the P&L, it does show as tax.
Okay. And sir, I just wanted to understand, if I may ask one more question. What would be the margin difference between FDC and SDC?
Again, lots of here, Richa, the margin difference on a base-to-base thumb rule level could be anywhere between 30% to 40% between an SDC and FDC. But really depends on, what kind of, sometimes even SDC, very high quality SDC is also equally, margin, you get high margins there also. So it depends on blend, the type of pack, the type of customer, lots of layers into it. But yeah, as a thumb rule, one could say that FDC would be 30% more margin than SDC.
Okay. Thank you. I'll come back in the queue.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please proceed.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible, sir?
Yeah, Deepak, you're audible.
Sir, could you please highlight what was our YOY volume growth for Q1 quarter?
So it was almost double digit. And that's a little lower than the EBITDA growth because we got better margins this time as well, like it happened in the last quarter as well. So that is how we should look at it. So a double-digit volume growth leading to around 23% EBITDA growth.
Okay, so double-digit meaning, let's say, between 11 to 12 or 12 to 14 means...
Very difficult for me, I'll tell you what, this is something that we don't... we give a little broader guidance on this because this is also sensitive information which kind of leads to... a lot of poaching and a lot of understanding about us by the competitors. So we stay a little, broad on this in terms of our explanation. But you could, as I told you, volume growth and EBITDA growth generally go in line. But for last quarter also and this quarter, we have seen much higher EBITDA growth than the volume. So if the EBITDA growth is at 23, we are saying that we have got double-digit volume growth. Yeah. So double-digit means somewhere lying in between and don't want to push it towards the higher mark, so you could kind of take the mean median mode of 10 to 20.
Okay. And so in this domestic business, which we clocked around 150 crore, are we EBITDA positive in that business or we are still to break even at EBITDA level as well?
No, last year itself we broke even. Last year we were positive and this year also we will be in fact more positive. But yeah, we are not kind of, we are plowing back as much as possible, whatever the brand requirement is, whatever it requires to build the brand, whatever it requires to be aggressive as we have been, because there's a lot of aggression in terms of, the branded business. We are growing very handsomely. So we are plowing back a lot of money, but it is, yes, even after plowing back, we are year by year increasing our EBITDA of margins on the branded business.
Okay. Is it in the higher single digit or is it, let's say, below 5%?
No. So it's this year. The last year was around 4 to 5%. Before that, I told you we broke even. And this year will be again between 5 to 10. But the good thing is that whatever now, since last year, the interesting thing is that the additional volume that is coming, is coming at a very, because the all the, break-evens, the negatives are already built in the base. So which means that if we are adding, let's say, 100 crores to the branded business, that 100 crores is coming at a much higher EBITDA margin. Yeah. In fact, almost as much as equal to the company EBITDA margin. So now the incremental business is now no more, margin diluting. It is kind of, adding to the margin.
Okay, so even that should be helping our this 22% EBITDA.
Absolutely, all of it. So there is a lot of things that has helped us and that being one of them.
Okay. And sir, last question is, in the past phone call, you have highlighted that you wanted to expand in some US market for premium coffee and then again Southeast Asia market. So Can you just elaborate what is your broad strategy around it? Means, has something changed in the last 6 months given the volatility of coffee prices, or our strategy remains the same more or less and we are focused on premium at the Western world and let's say more economic coffee at the Southeast Asian countries?
So yeah, more or less our strategy remains same. Very, you know, it's very simple. There are two sets of consumers we are wanting to target. One is the Indian diaspora, because now our brand has become very, brand awareness in India has become pretty high, which means that the Indian diaspora is now, you know, they know our brand. So with the current itself, our own brands, Continental, we are wanting to serve the Indian diaspora. So wherever we have got reasonable amount of Indian diaspora, we would be wanting to launch our brands there. And for the Western diaspora or the local diaspora, we are using brands like Percol and Rocket Fuel, which we acquired last year, to serve, you know, the premium or the more coffee or a blend which is more attuned towards the local diaspora. So that is our strategy. We are working on that. And as and when, because even in UK, and now that the brand is gaining momentum, there is a brand work happening, brand building happening. So a lot of European markets, we will look to kind of seed the brand, because once it is for, you know, known in UK, awareness is there, then other countries also, they start showing signs of demand. So that is the strategy for Western diaspora, for Pollen Rocket Fuel, and for Indian diaspora, our current brand. So that strategy remains the same. And the Southeast Asian market is actually not a low coffee market, low cost coffee market. It is actually more of a premix market. So that is a strategy we will we are looking to kind of, you know, enter the market, that product strategy of how can we enter through premix. So all that work is happening at the back end, and as and when we are ready for launch or some news is there, we'll share it with you.
Okay. Thank you for answering the question, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anand S. from Avendus Spark. Please proceed.
Thank you, sir. This is Sundar from Avendus. So a couple of questions. If you were to look about a couple of years ago, we had this phenomena when Robusta prices did decline. We had a huge variation between Arabica and our volumes had a significant uptrend. Now, is that something that we can expect with, on keeping in mind that there has been high production numbers factored in, especially for Vietnam Robusta, going over in the near to medium term and volumes resuming back to about a 20% number?
So basically, you know, what happens is that for a short period of time, even 2 years ago, when the Robusta did not kind of, you know, come down and come very close to Arabica, these are short-term phenomena, because, you know, over a period of time, the table corrects itself. Because Arabica is used a lot for fresh coffee, and a lot of fresh coffee is being used in the more developed economies. So what happens is that if the price, you know, kind of, if Arabica and Robusta, they come close to each other or go very far from each other, over a period of time, the table corrects and they have that kind of a difference, which is a 30% difference that that auto-corrects and comes to that level. So that is there. Currently also, that difference continues to be there. And while, you know, Vietnam is a lot more about Robusta. So when the Vietnam crops come, that's a correction time for Robusta, you see. Now, Brazil is also growing Robusta, so they also have a good flow of both Arabica and Robusta. So we don't see much of a, you know, a closing of the gaps or, you know, or the gaps widening beyond the justifiable limit. So they are in, matlab, you know, the gaps are there, matlab, the rightful gaps are there in the market.
Just a follow-up in terms of Robusta prices, with Robusta prices already down about 30% in the last month, and anticipated a further go down with Vietnam Robusta productions expected to be as high as what it was there in FY22. What kind of debt levels can get reduced from our books on price corrections?
So the, you know, the debt levels will reduce on two, three fronts. One is, of course, the cash flow. Now we are, you know, we are done with our capex. There is no new capex there. See, all the cash flow that we will generate will be used to retire the debt. That is one. Second is that with 30%, if the 30% you know, price reduction stays on track, so the working capital requirement over a period of time will come down by 30%. You know, like when we speak about it. So that should be there. So we will see this happening, you know, towards the end of next quarter, and that is again with a quote that the prices stay where they are. So we'll start seeing these kind of reductions and hopefully by the end of the year, I cannot just pinpoint a percentage, but there will be a reasonable drop in our debt level.
Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please proceed.
Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is due to the, you know, tariff that has been imposed on Brazil of 50%. There's a lot of reports coming up saying that the traditional beans might make way towards China and EU. So considering, I remember from our earlier calls that we have said that we target China and Middle East as a market where we see potential growth. So how does this, set of competition that we foresee due to this tariff situation?
So, you know, fundamentally speaking, yes, these news are there, but, you know, Brazil green coffee coming to China and other places, see, we also have our setup at Vietnam. So, in fact, last time, if you remember, we had also told that last year, because the Brazil coffee prices went below Vietnam prices, we also bought a lot of Brazil coffee. So, when these news comes, these are largely about green coffee itself. In terms of instant coffee, I don't see Brazil having an advantage over us if they want to sell in China, right? Because from Vietnam also there is no duty to China, and our logistics will be much faster there than the Brazilian products. So I don't see Brazil having an advantage in Asia because they want to supply more to Asia because of the US tariffs. And if this tariff was to continue for Brazil, I think it will give us an advantage in US. So it's a good news for us because we will not lose any advantage in the non-strong Brazil market, but we will get an advantage in the Brazil strong market like US. So let us see, but as I told you, in one of my answers to the previous question, that we'll need to see how the dust settles, because while these are, again, we are quoting broad numbers of tariff, 50%, 25%, 20%, we also know even if India is at 25%, some of the iPhone components and iPhones and pharmaceuticals, they have either been given leeway for that, or they are thinking to reduce tariff to 0% on those product categories. So let's see how things settle down. Maybe for coffee, because they don't grow coffee, US, they may also want to leeway on coffee imports as well. So we will wait and watch on this front. But as of now, things are pretty fluid, and double guessing is not going to help any one of us.
Right, sir. On my second question, on our interest part of, this quarter, the last two quarters now, we've seen around 34 crores of outflow when it comes to interest. With prices coming down, can we more or less say that this could be the peak interest cost and some form or type of short-term debt, will be reduced due to lower working capital requirement?
Yeah, 100%. These are peak levels. Won't go beyond this. Going forward, this will only come down. But as I was telling you, because of the lag effect, it may take a little time, but definitely the interest cost will be on a downward trend.
Okay. So,
in addition to what Praveen has highlighted, we have a debt reduction plan in place now. The cost debt will come down over a period of time. But as pointed out by Praveen, there will be a lag in terms of reflection in interest cost. Interest cost will obviously come down, but with a lag.
Right. Got it. Yeah, that's all from my side, and all the best for the year ahead.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gopinatha Reddy from PNR. Please proceed.
Yes. Thank you. Sir, coming to Continental brand that we are selling in India as retail, when it comes to instant coffee, small packets, last conference we said that to maintain the prices,
compensate for the price increase in
the
coffee.
Sorry, Mr. Gopinatha, we are actually not able to hear you. Your voice is breaking. Could you please fix that?
Okay, I'll repeat it. When it comes to Continental brands in India in retail, sir, when it comes to small packets, due to the coffee price increase, we said that we are changing the mixing of chicory and roasting, and that has changed the taste, obviously. Is it not going to impact our brand's image when it comes to a particular brand? The customer expects that particular brand to have particular taste, right? How are we looking into it?
So there are two things that we do. Internally, we make sure that the taste doesn't change, right? So we do very strong consumer test, and only then we release any blend or any blend change. So this is done with utmost care, so that the final taste doesn't change. So that is something that we take care, because with the brand, we don't want to, as you rightly said, the taste change should not be there. So we don't take any blend change without doing any consumer test. So very strong consumer test happens, very detailed consumer test. Only then, when we get a final pick on that, only then we proceed.
Okay, sir. I got the feedback from customers, so I just said whatever I got.
I'll be happy to kind of, if you could share the feedback with, on our website or on the mail, I'll be happy to engage and then, kind of take it up with our R&D. But that is something that we make sure that we don't tamper with the taste at all.
Sure.
But we'll be happy to take this feedback. Yeah.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vaishnavi Gurung from Craving Alpha Wealth Fund. Please proceed.
Thank you for taking my question, sir. I just had two quick questions. The one was on the revenue split, if you can provide by geography for the company. And the second one was which plans to reduce debt, what debt level we can expect in next for 1 year.
Okay, so first thing, let's say if I were to give you a sense of a feel of the geographical split, out of our exports business, around 10% or so comes from the American market, around 35 to 40% comes from European markets, including Russia and the CIS countries, and the balance 35-40 comes from Asian markets, with very little business in Australian market. So that's the split in terms of our export market. Add to this again, our brand only right now is selling in Indian market. Yes, a little bit of it of Percol is now started to sell in the UK market. So that's broadly the split between the markets. And the debt levels, I think, Chaitanya, you could give a color by year end, it should be at what?
So as indicated in one of the previous questions, we were at 2,000 crores as of December 24. We brought it down to 1,800 crores. That's a reduction of close to 150 plus crores in the quarter. Then again, in this quarter, from March to June, we brought it down by an additional 170 odd crores. So our target is to take it to 100 and 500 crores probably by September, and additional 150 crores by end of December.
Sir, can you repeat the number?
So that would be around 1,350 crores as at December 25.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Also, just one more question on the UK-India FTA. Do we anticipate any benefit, or are we seeing any increase in queries?
Sorry. What did you say?
So my question is regarding the UK-India FTA. Since you mentioned that 30 to 40% comes from UK, so
not UK. I said Europe. Europe. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Abhishek Mathur from Systematix. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi, Praveen sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Just wanted to check, our volume growth guidance, is it maintained at 10% to 20% that you had mentioned some time back? Also, what was the EBITDA per kg for the quarter, if you can sort of guide on that? And what is our guidance for this metric going forward? And finally, on the inventory that we keep a few months of inventory, is there some mark-to-market revaluation that we do which hits the EBITDA? Those are my questions.
Okay, so yeah, the volume projection remains the same, 10% to 20%, but EBITDA guidance is like between 15% to 20% for the full year. So that also remains the same. The EBITDA per kilo is approximately, if I'm not wrong, around between 125 to 135, somewhere in that range. No, there won't be any hit on the EBITDA because of the inventory that we carry, because once we have sold the coffee, that rate remains. So there is no change in the rate when the green coffee prices either go up or go down. So that won't change our EBITDA, it won't hit our EBITDA at all.
Great, sir. Thanks. Just wanted to clarify one more thing. Do we also do some bulk sales at a lower EBITDA? Is that part of our volume also?
Yeah, so we do very lots of types of sales, right? From low EBITDA sales to high EBITDA per kilo sales. So that is part of our strategy. It's not that we don't kind of thing, but yeah, below, there are certain things which we don't like to do. We don't like to do, a pillar coffee or an adulterated coffee and things like that. So that quality we maintain. So beyond a point, we also don't kind of do the race to the bottom kind of a strategy. But yes, there are low margin contracts also, which we do.
Great, sir. Thanks for the clarification. That's all from me. All the best. Thanks.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Manish Mahawar from Antique Stock Broking Limited. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah, Praveen, most of the questions will be answered. Few data point I wanted to understand. During one Q, what was the growth in SDC and FDC, if possible to share?
Manish, we'll kind of give a color separately, but we don't kind of share the product-wise and much market-wise or customer-wise growths and all that.
Okay. But FDC will be better than, is higher than SDC. That will be right to understand this quarter?
Yeah, directionally, it will be higher than FDC.
Understood. And just in terms of, just wanted to reconfirm the debt number, what Mr. Chaitanya said, right? The number was 1671 for the, this is a gross debt or net debt, 1671 for the quarter?
It's the net debt.
Net debt, okay. And you said by December 25, it will be 1350, right?
Right. It will be 1350. So the plan
okay.
is to bring down the debt by around 150 crores every quarter.
Okay. Okay, understood. And by March 26, what's the number you are looking at?
So an additional 150 crores, so it should be around 1,200 crores.
Okay, 1,200 crores.
Sorry, March 24?
Yeah, March 26.
March 26.
March 26 would be 1,200 crores.
Okay, understood. And capacity utilization, you said at the opening, right, around 50% utilization at a blended basis for all the capacity, right? Can you break it up into India and the Vietnam utilization level?
At a broad level, both the places, and we are taking it as a group only, it's at around 60%, Manish, because the last capacity, or let's say the existing capacity, is now fully utilized. 10% to 15% is the
okay.
new capacity utilization, and both these places, the figures are similar.
Okay. So 60% at a company level, right? One year.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And definitely Vietnam will be a bit lower because the new capacity came into 4Q only, right?
Very, very, very. So that build-up is happening. So I think, yeah, so there is a little catch-up here. But even in India, there is a catch-up to happen with the full 16,000 tons of FDC that is there. So it's
okay.
like, quarterly basis, there could be a little up and down, but at the year end, we are looking at a similar kind of utilization at both the places.
Understood. And last one, in B2C, what is the number you said in the call? Branded business
so
revenue for the store?
B2C, basically, almost 100 crores we did this quarter. 150 crores
okay.
was the domestic number, out of which 100 was B2C.
Okay, understood. Sure. Thank you. That's from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, we take that as the last question and would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So, thank you very much. Thank you, Antique and team, for organizing the call. We will look forward to interacting with you in the next quarter. All the best to everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.